I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown, with my second show of the week, and then the flagship edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events, and then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, November 18th, 2017, you're listening to the PW Torch Saturday edition of the livecast, a.k.a. the Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I am, of course, Rich Fan. I'm looking forward to today's show. We're talking a little bit about the Smallman-style Deep Dive Top 5 for Survivor Series. One of the big four, one of my favorite pay-per-views of the year, mainly because of the Survivor Series-style matches, and it's also NXT TakeOver San Antonio weekend. So that means we're going to have a double stuff of WWE. We also have the G1 Tag League, which we probably won't have time to get into today. But before we get into all that, let's do the pertinence. If you're interested in talking with us, feel free to give a call at area code 515-605-9345. Again, that's area code 515-605-9345. Or if the spirit moves you, feel free to shoot an email to us at pwtdive@gmail.com. We have a bunch of emails. We have a lot of callers. And only thing I need to put on now is my co-host. So without further ado, this week we are having a returner. But he's a little different. His team might not necessarily get a ring this year, but he does. And I'm talking about Mr. Daniel Palm. D-Palm, how you doing tonight, my man?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing, Rod?
I cannot complain. I have a weekend in which I'm going to watch some awesome wrestling. I've got great college football in the background. And I finally divorced myself from caring if the Buffalo Bills fall off a cliff. So it is a banner week for me.
I'm glad to see you take that yoke off, at least for the rest of the year. Just because, not saying, because fandom's a hard thing to shake. It's why we're here. But I'll tell you what, there are times you need to step away, and I think that you've reached that point with your beloved Buffalo Bills. I do have to say, and I hate being a Texas truther, you call it TakeOver San Antonio. San Antonio was a live event last night with Shawn Michaels on it. All that weirdness. They're in Houston, the place of my birth, for War Games tonight.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I really did get screwed up. It was because I was watching the Shawn Michaels, what was it?
I figured.
Three or four Royal Rumble? Not Royal Rumble. The Survivor Series where he was a representative of Team Raw versus SmackDown against Randy Orton and JBL. And it was a great – I mean, that dude coming back from the back injury, that's a deep dive down the road where we can talk about someone who's had a little break between greatness, kind of a Kurt Warner situation where you were just either gone or just crap for a couple of years. But Michael, my God. And what about this weirdness? Yeah, let's talk about that. I didn't get to follow up on anything. Yesterday was a little bit weird for me as far as my son had some stuff to do. So why don't you drop a 411 on us as far as what went down in San Antonio?
Well, in San Antonio, people may or may not have known Ring of Honor is running a big show there. And NXT, of course, announced their own competing house show. So as Ring of Honor would raise the stakes, WWE seemed to do it in kind. So at first, I think it was they added the Young Bucks to the show. And so they said that, oh, the NXT title's on the line, Adam Cole versus Drew McIntyre. And they said, well, Kenny's coming too. And they said, well, guess what? Shawn Michaels is reffing. I think between the two promotions, there was something like 13 world or promotion titles in the ring former champions in the ring competing or participating that evening in San Antonio. Just kind of a crazy night in 2017 wrestling. And before people say, oh, WWE's trying to shut down Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor's trying to Hey, guess what? Everyone made so much money last night because that's what competition does in this industry.
Yeah, and one of the things I think people don't pay attention to, well, one, the crazy politics of the owner of Ring of Honor, but two, the fact that the owner of Ring of Honor himself is a bigger billionaire than Vince. So when you say Vince is trying to put him out or Triple H is trying to put him out of business, they, if you're real about it, if anything, they should be worried at some point that they might try to put WWE out of business.
Yeah, that, I mean, and that's one of those things, though, because we're talking about professional wrestling. As people would want to remind you when I tell people to watch the Ric Flair Doctor 30 for 30, these guys are always working. It's
right.
All a work, and perception is everything. So if this is the image they want to perceive, guess what? All it does is make everyone more money. It increases indie booking rates and puts more money in Ring of Honor guys' pockets, and I'm all for that. It does the same thing for the guys on the NXT side. I don't think they can actually gate money, but it does help the WWE, which helps them and their facilities.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, I mean, we'll get to it in a minute, but one of the biggest things about this weekend and NXT in general is I think these big shows give a chance for Vince to kind of be the dad that gets to finally show up to your football game and see how well you can play. And when you show up, he's going to be happy and proud. And when you don't, he's going to wonder what he's putting his money in for you. So for someone like Andres Cien Almas, well, that's a whole different deep dive as far as what's going on there with him and Zelina Vega and how many people on Twitter the last few days have been saying Austin Aries thought that was his woman, but that's not for me. That's not for me to go into. That's not me for handle. I just know I've seen enough movies where this doesn't end well. So thoughts and prayers with you, Mr. Aries. But yeah, him and Zelina Vega together complete everything each person misses separate. Almas's English isn't the best. His attitude, his confidence have returned with Vega. She hasn't been the best wrestler, but in limited spots as a manager makes her look fantastic. And she does so in a way without emasculating Almas. And he doesn't use her merely as, you know, the cheesecake eye candy.
And I think it's interesting because I think I'm not the first person, of course, to point this out, but it's kind of a demonstration of almost, and it depends on how much credit you give the writers, but accidental long-term booking. Mm-hmm. They did this thing where he came in, it was the first real premiere that kind of flopped. Hideo got over, Finn got over, Kevin Owens came in and just took over, Samoa Joe got over. You think of these big indie names that usually come in and they make an impact, but La Sombra, when he took the mask off and came here, it was different.
Mm-hmm.
I think he went over Ty Dillinger in his debut, which was Ty was in that weird place that he was a heel, but Full Sail had figured out that they loved him, so it wasn't going to be a raucous applause to go over him. And then from there, I think he welcomed in Bobby Roode, and then they did a mini angle where he was partying too much and bringing girls to the ring and taking these losses. And depending on how you feel, either you think, A, he was in their doghouse, or B, they were planning this amazing long-term booking. Whatever happened, the addition of Vega to him, to his character, has really done wonders. And it's one of those things that you can package all of this and rerun this angle on the main roster. It's all
absolutely
relatable. It's all grounded. I think that the NXT talents suffer when their gimmick is further away from when Tyler Breeze is allegedly a male model, that doesn't translate as well on the larger stage. But if you can just say almost a guy who is here to compete, but he didn't have the prize for you do the, you can run this exact same angle. Because now guess
absolutely
what? He's high on the hog. He's excited. He's the guy who made it to the main roster. He doesn't need her anymore. He's partying again, and he's taking losses, and people are noticing. And you make that the gimmick, hey, people are going to notice you can be behind it, and you're going to have that big Latin star they've been looking for since Rey Mysterio decided to take his wares elsewhere.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I disagreed vehemently with Triple H when he first brought Almas in, when he took off the – when he – well, first of all, La Sombra was smart enough to – if you're going to lose your mask, by God, get paid to do it. And then he did that in CMLL. And instead of coming under a new mask and being a new character – Triple H did say, you know, with a face like that, I don't know why they put him under a mask. And while at first I bristled at the notion, but on the main roster, not only is he going to be great with the Latin American market, women are going to love that dude. He's going to be, if they put him on SmackDown, he could be SmackDown's Roman Reigns in terms of bringing in women that find him attractive, dudes that think he's an awesome wrestler, women that think he is an awesome wrestler, men that think he's an attractive dude. You know, he is just, he's got it. And if he has Vega with him or without, like you just mentioned, which is another great idea, because there's nothing, there's no crime against doing what got the guy over in NXT over again at the main roster.
They did it with, they've been doing it kind of with Owens and Zayn.
Yep. Yep.
Just running
and,
back.
And that's not a bad idea at all. I mean, as far as running it back, too, one of the things I thought about, and this is a great thing for you guys to keep track of. I am a dude. Palm is a dude. We like our facial hair. We like our holidays. We like our gifts. And sometimes you just can't get something for the guy you love or you like, or you tolerate. Sometimes it's just the guy you tolerate. We completely accept that. And I'm here to tell you about Harry's. Harry's is something I got, and I've been testing it out, using it, enjoying it. Even though I use it solely to keep my beard nice and fresh and underneath, I don't want to be that neck beard guy. No one wants to be the neck beard guy, especially if you're a pro wrestling fan. So I enjoy the fact that Harry's allows me to have a nice close shave under my chin. It looks good. I can shave along the sides here of my sideburns and make myself look like $1 million bucks, not like the Young Bucks, $1 million bucks. And because of that, I feel like my wife won't kick me out of bed, kick me out of the house, and my son won't make fun of me for looking like a homeless person. And so I invite you to do the same. This holiday, Harry's is offering custom and limited edition shaving kits that make the perfect gifts. Their gift sets were built with your guy in mind, so you'll know he'll love them. Sets come with German-engineered 5-blade cartridges that provide a close, comfortable shave. The foaming shave gel smells amazing. And now they have special winter edition chrome and emerald green handles. I am a fan of not only green, but the Green Ranger, so that's a key for me. And you, of course, can personalize it with engraving. No matter what you were looking for, Harry's has you covered. Sets come ready to gift in beautifully designed gift boxes. Gift sets start at just $10. Great stocking stuffers, and you could even get something for yourself with Harry's. And as a special offer for any member of the Deep Dive that does it, we've partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off your first order when you go to harrys.com/PWTorch. This offer is only available for the holidays, so get on it. This holiday, give Harry's and give handsome. Get your holiday order done early and take advantage of free shipping. To get a limited edition holiday shave set while supplies last, go to harrys.com, harrys.com/PWTorch right now. So now that we've talked a little bit about my love of Harry's, and Palm can talk about his love of being married, congratulations on the
nuptials.
Congratulations on starting a life with someone new and being the person that can just say, hey, my wife told me to do this, and everybody just nods. Like I was saying with Harry, I love my beard. Once I got my beard shaved, my wife was like, oh, I've been waiting for you to do this. I was like, oh, it's like that, huh?
Oh, man. No, it's good. It's a life change. It's proof that you can love professional wrestling and still be loved. And I hope that gives hope to all the I had a heel promo here. I'm not going to cut it. I'm not going to cut it. Let's have fun.
See, don't do it. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy.
I was ready to go full heel deep home.
Oh, man. See, no, that ain't right. So now we talked a little bit about Almas, but what about TakeOver itself? Before we go to our first break, I do want to say, what are you interested in? What are you looking for? And also, before we get to that, oh my God, let's talk about the Unanimous Decision Pod, the MTR Network, and what the heck you do when you're not dropping knowledge on these fine folks on this podcast and show.
Yeah, right. I am an editor and frequent podcaster over the MTR Network. If you've never heard of us, we are home to the podcast, the Insanity Check podcast. And it's just kind of a place where you can talk about everything that you love, from politics to video games to movies to we do weekly reviews for the WB shows, The Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow. And we also have a sports show. I host that, the Unanimous Decision Podcast. Been on a brief hiatus because, you know, your boy did get married and took a little time off. But we're going to be back this Sunday with our co-editor, our editor-in-chief, actually, Chris, is going to be on. We're talking everything, man. We're talking all the news and notes from the NFL. We're talking my beloved Georgia Bulldogs. We're talking about a wonderful Columbia football team that just capped an 8-2 season for the first time in a very long time. And, yes, that was my opportunity to talk about my alma mater, and that's all I really wanted. I can go now, right?
Absolutely. Wait, no. We still have stuff to do.
Fair enough. I'm really excited to be here, and let's talk a little War Games.
Okay. Now, what do you think about, as a person who had the Southern experience early, what do you think of No Roof? For me, it doesn't really – it seems like it's an evolution and not something that's a negative, but what do you think about that?
No Roof's not going to bug me.
Okay.
I'm not going to let it bug me. I'm not going to let No Roof bug me. How many rings are they doing?
2 rings.
That's going to be interesting to see how they handle this logistically. Like, do you throw it on last?
I would think so.
Like, do you run the championship match and then through a video package that allows him to set up a second ring? Because I don't know Vince McMahon, but he doesn't seem like a man who throws away a lot of money. And giving away those seats all night for a second ring to sit empty, I don't see it happening. Just aesthetically, it doesn't feel like a WWE production.
Yeah. It's the thing I love, and again, for all the stuff we give Vince – the thing I love most about NXT is the separation you feel. And so you get the build for War Games. I think Wade even mentioned the one issue he had was they did everything perfect and then they went and made it too polished by just happening to have the logo set up as soon as Regal said, like, this situation can only be solved by War Games. And here is my image that shows we're going to have War Games. If they hadn't done that, sure. But I get that because you also are training. And we've talked about this the last few times you've been here. When you're in Full Sail, you're also training not just future wrestlers, future managers like Zelina Vega. You're also training future video people, future tech people. Mm-hmm. So they need that experience. So I don't give them as much of a hard time with that because you have to learn the timing of when this is going to happen. You have to learn the effectiveness. And maybe that's something in the future you don't do, but you have to learn to do it before you can learn not to do it, if that makes sense.
100% it does. As for the matches I'm looking forward to tonight, obviously War Games. It's not. I'm going to call it War Games because it is the evolution of War Games, but let's be real, it's not quite War Games. The match I think is kind of under the radar that I'm really excited for is the women's title match. Ember Moon, Kairi Sane, Nikki Cross, and Peyton Royce. I'm a huge Peyton Royce fan. The other three, we all know they can do on a big stage. I think Peyton Royce's ring work and her character work has been just top-notch. The stuff she's doing with Billie Kay is amazing. And her social media stuff, where she's just kind of continuing to heal off to the point where I think one of her tweets today said, when she wins her title tonight, she's going to celebrate with pineapple on her pizza.
Oof.
She's gone full heel, man. And if you're going to commit to the character, I'm going to be interested in seeing your character succeed. I'm excited to see that 4-way match. The 3-way between Cross, Ember, and Asuka earlier this year was just breathtaking. And I think we can really advance on that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing, especially because this week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, when they had questions about who's going to be in and what's going on. And when they asked, was it Martinez? Yeah, when they asked Martinez about it, they're like, the one person I know who isn't going to win it is Ember Moon because she never wins the big one. And I was like, the shade. My God, the shade. But I like that story because I've been yelling up and down and using my host, no mutinies here, my host on the East Coast cast on Wednesdays, Travis, he usually gives me a hard time about it. I swear up and down that if Ember Moon wins – it's almost going to be like a UFC situation where she's the interim champ that never beat the champ and everyone's looking at her with side eyes. So she has to just destroy people to get respect and people will still look at her with side eye. I'm rooting for Nikki Cross out of the four of them or for it to be like a Lay Cool situation with the iconic duo.
Oh, 100%. I think that, Nikki Cross is – I'm only saying I didn't pick Nikki Cross honestly because I think she needs to be on the main roster yesterday. I think she is so different and so unique and so crisp in the ring that why – she's a great character work. Like, this is a woman we've never seen on the main roster ever.
Mm-hmm. The closest I could think of with her is Luna, but it isn't that she's, like – Luna was scary. Nikki's scary in a different way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I figure, to me, I feel like Luna would be the woman that pulls a knife on you and Nikki would just grab something and you wouldn't even know, like, how did she turn that into a weapon?
Exactly.
And one last thing before we get to our first commercial, what would be the, do you have any honorable mentions before we get to our list or any?
I have a bunch and I'm going to have to work it into the list because some of them would actually spoil some of the things I'm going to be picking. So I'm going to hold off my honorable mentions. I don't, because they're all tied together. Because the Smallman rules, I'm not going to lie, they threw me off, man. They added a wrinkle I wasn't ready for. This took a lot longer than I thought it would.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. So let's go to our first break. When we come back, we're going to start with our first picks here in the Smallman Top 5. Your calls. We have some great emails as well. So we're looking forward to talking to you guys. Make sure you hit one on the touchtone dial if you want to be in the queue for us to bring in. And we will see you on the other side of this here on the Deep Dive.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
All right, we're back here on the Deep Dive, Saturday, November 18th, 2017. I'm here with Daniel Palmer, D-Palm, at D-Palm66 on Twitter. And we're talking about Survivor Series, and we're using the Jim Smallman rules. At Jim Smallman, the purveyor and comedian and co-owner of Progress Wrestling in the UK, an outfit that is making me have a Sophie's Choice situation WrestleMania weekend, because while they're having their shows, which I've already bought tickets for, Revolution Pro is having a show right after theirs, which is like 27 minutes away from their location, that will feature New Japan. And if it features Minoru Suzuki, I may have to either leave the Progress show early or just weep openly in my seat as I realize Minoru Suzuki is 20 minutes away from me and I can't go. So we're here. We got our deep dive top fives. We got the Smallman rules in effect. What's your number five?
I want to preface the thing. I did not rank mine. Making me pick five is tough.
Okay.
You're not going to make me rank them.
I'm
working in chronological order.
Fair enough.
So my number five match is on this list, not for work rate. And let's just preface all this here now. I'm a Southern guy. I grew up in the South. I did not grow up on WWE. So the idea of the 5-on-5 elimination doesn't have that nostalgic appeal that some people might bring to the table. So I want to say my number five match happened in 1991. And at this point, we've been at Survivor. When did Survivor Series start? Was it 87? 86?
Oh, I want to say 87.
Okay. So
look it up just
for those of you who don't know, prior to 91, there had never been a singles match in Survivor Series. The entire card was a post-Thanksgiving 5-on-5. It was kind of a cluster. And for the first time ever, there was a singles match on the Survivor Series card. And for the first time ever, the Dead Man won a world title. The Undertaker beating Hulk Hogan for the WWF title in 1991 is my number five pick for the list.
Excellent. And, you know, I'd be one of the things I haven't done yet is the history of a pay-per-view as a deep dive. And we're going to do a quick one right here for Survivor Series, because one of the things few people realize is Vince set up Survivor Series as a closed circuit TV / pay-per-view event that they could do between the Rumble, WrestleMania, et cetera, and then the fall, basically to counter Starcade. Not Starcade, I'm sorry. No. Wasn't it Starcade in November?
Yeah.
Refresh my memory. Yeah. So they were trying to counter Starcade. So one, they're trying to freeze out NWA, WCW, Jim Crockett Promotions. And two, they wanted it to be a show where they could do the 5-4 or 4-man teams, because it would be like a throwaway show they wouldn't necessarily care about. So what was born as something that was like a throwaway show has become, to me, this is my favorite of the big four, because I love Survivor Series style matches. So for me, my fifth is the Survivor Series match I chose, which, for those of you who have heard this show and have been following me, should be no surprise. It was the team of Hulk Hogan, Tito Santana, and the Ultimate Warrior versus Hercules, Paul Roma, Rick Martel, Ted DiBiase, and the Warlord, the Survivor Series 90 Ultimate Survivor Grand Finale. For those of you who haven't watched Survivor Series, this was a year in which they had face and heel teams, and they declared that if you were on at the end of the night, the survivors from all of the teams would be put together in a grand finale match. So Tito Santana was his sole survivor. Hogan and Warrior were on theirs. And then they all came together to go up against it, a complete team of Power and Glory, Ted DiBiase, and the Warlord, along with Rick Martel. So to me, I love this match mainly because it's over the top. You have a champion, Ultimate Warrior. You have my favorite tag team in that 90 to 91 era, Power and Glory. And it's 5-on-3. There should be no way they win, but of course you know who wins. And before we get to our next ones, I do want to bring some more people in on the fun. So we have 985 on the horn. Let me start with 985. 985, welcome to the Deep Dive. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Rich, what's up? This is Cody from Baton Rouge.
Hey, Cody. Always a pleasure, my man. Welcome to Deep Dive with me and Deep Palm. What you got for us this week?
Well, first off, before I get into anything, I want to say my condolences to your Buffalo Bills this past week. I got to say, man, I really thought that this would be a really tough test for the Saints, but it turned out much better in my favor, but I really thought you guys would be a little bit better then. Well, so what's up with that, man?
I agree, too. I mean, you guys beat us so bad that the team just went crazy. Benched a quarterback that's 5-4 in the playoff hunt, putting in a rookie who I've seen for 2 years at Pitt, and the closest he came to a 300-yard game was his game for almost 400 yards against Clemson last year, and other than that, he had maybe one more in 2 years. So for the people who are claiming that he, you know, because I get a lot of dog whistle comments of he'll see the field better, he'll make more decisions, he's more of a field general, yada, yada. It really broke whatever poisons Western New York as far as, like, some of that stuff. So you just made it come out to the fore, and I appreciate you guys doing it because it had to happen. It's like sweating out of a disease. You got to have it happen sometimes.
Yeah. I was very surprised at how my team performed. I think we did really well, but yeah, I really feel bad for you guys, especially since y'all were doing really well. And I thought you guys would probably make some noise in that division, especially with New England still being somewhat at the top of their game. But that's another story for another time. I just want to I actually came up with a list myself for my personal top five Survivor Series matches. And I want to get your guys' thoughts on it. So I'll try to get to these really quick so y'all can respond to it. So, like Deep Palm, I actually do have an audible mention myself. It was from 2004. It was Team Orton versus Team Triple H. The one thing that I really liked about this match, even though I put it as an audible mention, I still think it should be worth some of its weight because the stipulation was that the winning team would get to GM Raw for the next week the next month. And of course, with Team Orton winning and each member of the team being being GM for a week, it made total sense since they were all baby faces to challenge for the world title against Triple H all four of those weeks. So I thought that was really interesting. I did not want to not mention it, so I put it as an honorable mention. So my number five was Team Bischoff versus Team Austin from 2003. And it was they told a very good story with Shawn Michaels being the lone survivor and trying to outlast the rest of Bischoff's team to try to keep Austin's hopes alive of being GM of Raw. And I actually have number five as a tie because I also really liked the SmackDown match from that same card, which was Team Lesnar. And there was a lot of intense buildup for that one with them touting Brock Lesnar, Big Show, A-Train, Nathan Jones, Matt Morgan as being 1,000, like almost 2,000 pounds of a team. And then another thing that popped out of me that was memorable was John Cena's face turn. They had hyped it for a couple weeks prior to that, and he finally jumped ship, and I was really on board with that. So that was my number five. My number four is actually the only non-Survivor Series match on my list. Number four was the first Elimination Chamber match. And although I wasn't able to watch this match in person or on pay-per-view, I did follow it to the best of my ability. And for the longest time, they were touting this Elimination Chamber match. And they never showed us any pictures of what it would look like. It was a brand-new match. And there was so much intrigue going into it. And then actually getting to see what it looked like when it happened, it was just a massive, massive structure. And, of course, having Shawn Michaels come out at the end as the champion was a really, really good, heartwarming story. So that was my number four. My number three was from 1993. It was the Hart Family, Bret Owen, Bruce and Keith versus HBK and his Knights. It was originally supposed to be Jerry Lawler, but I forget why they put in HBK at the last second. The thing that stood out to me about this match was they had a special guest commentator. I don't know if you guys remember this, but Ray Combs from The Family Feud was the guest announcer and the guest commentator. And the way that Ray Combs called this match, it was almost as if he'd never seen a wrestling match before, which I'm sure he probably hadn't. Like he got so excited at every single high spot that was in that match, and it was ridiculous. And of course, he would throw jabs at Bobby the Brain Heenan every now and then. So that was a very entertaining match. So my number two is from 2001. That's the Team WWF versus the Team Alliance. And I was probably one of the few people growing up in the early 2000s that was a fan of the Invasion angle, even though it didn't have some of the major WCW stars at the time. But I thought it was still a great angle. And I was still like on the edge of my seat trying to, even though I watched it years later, I was still on the edge of my seat, trying to figure out who was going to win. And of course, with Kurt Angle coming in with the swerve at the end against Austin, it made it very memorable for me. And the whole pay-per-view, that whole 2001 pay-per-view was very intense to watch. It was all, of course, WCW versus WWF, the final confrontation, yada, yada, all that good stuff. So my number one is actually very recent. My number one was Team Cena versus Team Authority. And it told a very, very good story. But I think that the one thing that made it stick out for me the most was the very end when Sting made his debut in WWE, because it was something that I never thought I would ever see, being that Sting is my favorite wrestler of all time. And the moment, well, first off, I was with my buddy Grant, and we were watching it in my apartment, and Survivor Series was in St. Louis at the time, and Randy Orton had been out for a while, so I assumed that Randy Orton was gonna make the save for Team Cena and swerve the Authority, which, eventually he did go against the Authority later for WrestleMania. But then Sting's music started to play, and I thought to myself, man, that's not what Randy Orton's music sounds like. And then they went to the Titantron, and then I couldn't believe what was happening. I stood up and could not sit down for the next hour and a half hour. I was so excited. It was one of those moments where I could tell you exactly where I was when it happened and exactly what I did. It was a very, very memorable Survivor Series match for me. And that's my list. So what do you guys think?
Now, I'm gonna poke fun at you because as a Saints fan, it would be appropriate that you would violate numerous rules.
Numerous rules.
So... But I like your list. Here's the deal. Go ahead, Palm.
I'm just saying you can't trust Saints fans. As a Falcon fan, I hate your list. and I hate the fact that you've recreated John Elway's 97-98 seasons with Drew Brees. I don't know how it happened. All of a sudden, I'm watching Drew Brees and Terrell Davis, John Elway and Terrell Davis all over again. It's disgusting, and I hate it. But
oh, my gosh.
I enjoy the list because, for me, like I said, I didn't grow up a WWF guy, so that's you gave me some fodder, and I also had my time where I wasn't watching at all, my last fanhood in the 2000s, so you're giving me some things to check out, so I appreciate your list.
Yeah, and I mean, like you, I wasn't much of a WWF fan growing up either, and like I was always into WCW. I think the one time that I actually got into WWE was when Chris Jericho made his debut, so a WCW guy actually helped me started liking WWF more often.
Yeah, that's wild how that works. For me, it was that I never even got WWF. I was a WCW guy through and through, but I was in the Georgia Dome for the Finger Poke of Doom. And that was the day I stopped watching wrestling for about 13 years.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I feel bad for you, man. I feel bad for you. I was lucky enough. I was lucky enough to not have been watching. Well, actually, no, I still kind of watch WCW every now and then, but it was really more just in and out. I was very young as a wrestling fan. Even that's why I have the 2001 Survivor Series match on my list, because not a lot of people were fans of the Invasion angle because of the whole didn't have WCW stars, just had. It was mostly the WCW B team at the time, but I was young and very impressionable. But it was to me, I still thought it was very entertaining, and that whole storyline just worked for me on some level.
Oh, I could totally understand that. I mean, it was fun. I like you said, some people didn't like it. I for one did enjoy the Invasion. And the ECW corollary, because the Raw where the realization dawns on you when the guys are all in the ring and it's like, wait a minute, all of those guys were in oh my gentle Jesus, and it just went down. I love that. But yeah, the traditional Invasion, yeah, completely with it. I would have preferred, obviously, like any of these other historical situations, like the UWF and et cetera, et cetera, that the invading group got a little bit more play, but I understand why it went the way it did, and I ain't mad at them.
Cool. And it's funny that you mentioned TakeOver and Survivor Series coming up tomorrow, because I'm not really much of a fan of this new War Games format that they have. Maybe it'll still do something. Maybe it'll still do something for me, because I did enjoy War Games. I've seen a lot of really good War Games matches, and also, with this this is a big Survivor Series match. The more that I hear Wade and you guys talk about it, the more I just realize, like, man, this is a stacked card. Because even with the changes they made at the last minute, especially with this Survivor Series match, like if they do this really well, it could probably end up on my top five tonight. I mean, tomorrow night.
What do you think, Paul?
100%. I think that you take a look and you can be the cynic who says, look at these ages on this 4-on-5-on-5 team match. But look at the resumes of this match. This is going to be one for the ages. And I, for one, am, as the kids say, here for it.
And the way that I think about it is, it's like, how often, like, if you, like, just look at what, like, just look at the card itself. Like, if you imagine, if you went back in time, maybe a couple years, maybe like 5 years or so, and say that not only would you have Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, Bobby Roode, and Shinsuke Nakamura in a Survivor Series match against each other with John Cena, Shane McMahon, Kurt Angle, and Triple H. Like the two, like literally two eras in the same match. But then you also have AJ Styles going up against Brock Lesnar. Like, imagine going back in time and telling a wrestling fan that. Like, that's like the scope of it. In my opinion, I may be exaggerating a little bit, but it's big. It's a big scope.
No, you're right. I mean, when they mentioned a few months ago during the WrestleMania TakeOver conference call that it's like 60-something% of the roster right now is WWE talent is now NXT-based, which really is indie-based in some regards, that blew my mind, because you don't think about it. But then when you think top to bottom at every level now, there's someone that 5-10 years ago you never would have thought would be in WWE.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. 100% agree. Well, that's all I got for you guys today. So thank you guys for letting me give you guys my list, and enjoy the rest of the show.
All right, my man. Always a pleasure.
Have a good one.
All right. the Madman from Baton Rouge. I'll be looking forward to seeing him at some point during WrestleMania weekend. So before Palm and I finish up with our list, I'm going to go to another quick commercial. And when we come back, we're going to hit you with a couple more of our top five. And we look forward to hearing from you. Area code 515-605-9345. PWTDive@gmail.com here on The Deep Dive.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at PWPodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's PWPodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
All right, we're back here on the Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I'm here with Deep Palm talking with you guys about our Survivor Series Deep Dive Top 5 with the Smallman Rules in effect. Just as a reminder, Smallman Rules state that if you repeat years or wrestlers, they're eliminated. Because I like Cody, we didn't give him that hard a time. And because his team destroyed mine, I try not to have too much PTSD over it. But now Palm and I are going to start throwing some of ours your way just to kind of show you how it works. So what do you got, Palm? And I know you said you're not doing them in order of greatness, but order of chronology, if my brain will work correctly. So why don't you just start with, like, let's go with your we already did five. So let's do 4 and 3, and then I'll do the same on my end.
All right, so 4 for me is where I run into these silly, silly rules. Because historical precedent, my number 5 match was on here mostly because it's so historical, the first singles match on Survivor Series history. Well, for number 4, you look chronologically and you say that the next really historical thing that happened in Survivor Series was the Montreal Screwjob. But
yeah,
I'd be remiss if I didn't include two of my favorite matches of all time. Bret and Shawn in 92, that was when you really got the feeling that whatever happens with the steroid trial, whatever happens in the bigger picture, these two guys can carry this company, and they would do so going forward. And then 96, Bret and Austin. And I know we all love the double turn at Mania, but man, for just a pure wrestling match, I'll have the conversation that the Survivor Series match isn't better. So I flip between these three. I'm going to, just for the sake of the podcast and not to put myself through too much torsion, I'm going to land on Bret and Austin in 1996.
Okay. And what about for
number 3? And this is because, and like I said, this is a time when I was out of the fan, so I ended up coming back, and especially through the advent of the WWE Network for only $9.99 a month. I've been able to revisit some eras that I missed. One of those eras was the era of the SmackDown 6. For those of you who don't know, that's when Eddie Guerrero, Chavo Guerrero, Chris Benoit, Kurt Angle, Edge, and Rey Mysterio Jr. were basically the focal point of all of SmackDown. Paul Heyman was famously running things behind the scenes, and he could get a great match of any combination of that six, a great program, a great angle. But the blow-off was Los Guerreros versus Benoit and Angle versus Edge and Mysterio, for the WWE Tag Team Championships in 2002, a three-way tag match, and man, it's some of the best work I've ever seen in my entire life. Those six guys, I see why they call them the SmackDown Six. They earned that title.
Awesome. And so for me, my fourth one is a match that I enjoyed mainly because it harkened back to their first introduction and our introduction to this gentleman to the WWE, and that was 2005 WWE Championship match between John Cena and Kurt Angle. The fact that John Cena's debut came as the Ruthless Aggression, I'm going to go 5 minutes with the champ, Kurt Angle, and then you move a couple of years down the road and now they're wrestling for the title. That wasn't lost on me, and I really enjoyed the match. I mean, this is the start of the creation of Big Match John. Going up against a legend like Kurt Angle, the more I think about it, the more John Cena's in that sweet spot as a wrestler. Kind of like a football player where you've played on a team in two different championship squads. I'm trying to think of a good example, like Ed Reed on the 2000 Ravens versus the 2009. Was it 2009 or 2010? I can't remember which year, but like you've seen so much and you've done so much now when you can look back and say, hey, I remember when the SmackDown 6 was starting, and I was just the other guy that was in the back that The Undertaker was teaching how to do things. I remember when those guys left and I took over, and this guy came back, or I took on this guy. So this is the start of that, and I think this is a sweet spot for him, that when you look back and people say John Cena can't wrestle, you watch that match, and I dare you to say that again. And then number three, you mentioned the Montreal school job. This is shades of that. 2 years later? No, 1 year later. Rock versus Mankind. Deadly Game. Final for the World Heavyweight Championship. And he wins via questionable sharpshooter tactics that result in him joining the corporation, going heel, and on the next night, after having never been a true heel to the level he had to be at the championship level, he proved it. It was instant. And he had it from day one. And it's something that I think, as much as people, like right now with the Shield, I think the day Roman Reigns turns heel, it's going to be the same thing as his cousin. He's going to do it. It's going to feel natural, and it's going to feel like, how is this guy this good at it? So those are my two. We have our last two. I'll cheat. I'm going to hop ahead. I'll do number two, and I'll save number one for the end. Actually, you know what? I won't, because you already mentioned it. Bret Hart versus Steve Austin, 1996.
Oh.
That was my number one, and it was mainly because of the fact that the shade. I'm a big fan, as much as my friends make, of receipts, and Bret Hart coming back and saying he wants to wrestle the best person in the WWE, Stone Cold Steve Austin, completely was a middle finger to the current champ, and of course his real-life rival, Shawn Michaels. It was glorious for him to do that, and that match, like you said, the one thing I was thinking about when you described the match was how much Steve Austin changed as a wrestler from Survivor Series to WrestleMania because of injuries.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And then you go another couple of months, and again, he devolved because of the injuries from a guy who was just a technical marvel that could occasionally – like he sells himself short when he talks about it on the Steve Austin show. Before the knee injuries and the neck injury – Steve Austin was one of the best just wrestlers in any company. And once he got injured and became a brawler, he just adapted. And it boggles my mind that he was that good at it. And so my final one, and then I'll leave you time to do yours before we get to emails and calls to close this up, is the first elimination chamber that Cody mentioned. HBK, newly returned 2002, Triple H, Jericho, Booker T, Kane, and RVD. It was a match in which it was a foregone conclusion. You figured, all right, Triple H is winning this, RVD's winning this, maybe. But no, Shawn Michaels outlasts his blood rival best friend who didn't want him to come back. He outlasts a game Jericho who's been involved in the creation of some of the coolest, most recent gimmick matches in the WWE's history. This and the Money in the Bank match. And RVD got to be RVD and jump off of things. So what more could you want?
That's great, man. That's a great list. So my list ends up, like I said, I went chronologically. Mm-hmm. And I delved next into another match that I was out of the business of a fan for, but one that I've grown to appreciate having come back. Taker Batista, Hell in a Cell 2007.
Nice.
And like when you, because I missed a lot of Batista's early work. I'd seen him when he came back with the Guardians run with Brian and WrestleMania a couple years back. But for me, I missed a lot of the early Batista stuff. So it was interesting for me to watch the story go from Mania to, I believe it was Cyber Sunday, to where he and Taker both 1-1, and to blow off in the Hell in a Cell, lots of color, it was a brutal match. It's one of, and honestly, if you want to sit back and rank Hell in a Cell matches, if it's not your top three, let's have a long talk about what you're doing with your life, because it is one of the more brutal exhibitions I've ever seen in a 20x20 ring. It ends with a bit of a schmoz with Edge, but that leads into the next series of matches in 2008 where Edge and Taker would finally do their dance. And yeah, for me, that's got to be number two. And then for number one, again, chronologically, I'm going to do as this rule suggests and have to include a 5-on-5 Survivor Series match. And for me, that one I have to add, and it became a coin flip. Because the caller said, hey, 2014, first of all, you get the taste of Dolph Ziggler as a main event player, as the sole survivor. But you also get the debut of Sting, and as you and I both know, there are bigger Sting marks in the world, but they're not currently talking on PW Torch.
This is true.
It was hard for me to move past it, but because our caller already called it out, I'm going to go to 2016. 5-on-5 match, Team SmackDown versus Team Raw, staying within all the rules, because for me, when you go to these big five-man giving matches, at its core, and you mentioned it when we talked about the history of Survivor Series, this is a place for people to kind of show off, maybe a little wear and tear on their bodies, but more than anything else, it was an exhibition. These 10 men last year took the challenge and said, no, we've got an hour's worth of work, and we're going to all put ourselves through hell. From Shane McMahon taking the worst bump I've ever seen, like to the point where I was like, Shane should not take another bump. That spear bump he took makes me physically ill. You get the Shield throwing their triple power bomb. I know everyone's nuts about the Shield being back now. Hey, guess what? They put AJ through a table last year. AJ Styles in his first ever, and maybe only ever, because he's becoming a featured performer in these big cards, Survivor Series match. Kevin Owens, Jericho is his biggest run. The beginning of Braun Strowman, who loses via countout and then ends up putting poor James Ellsworth through another table. It's a star-packed match. It gives us the first taste of that Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, the good story that was botched by the horrible ending. For me, there's everything there that you could ask for in 2016's Survivor Series match.
That's a good one. It is a good one.
And I saved this in the lines and all your rules, too.
Yeah, you did. I mean, they're not mine. They're Jim's. So when I get, if we were on your show, if we were on the Unanimous Decision Pod, I would be waiting for the bell, because when I do see Jim Smallman at the Progress show, I'm going to mention to him, this has given me so much work. And also, hey, while I have you here, do you mind talking with me for a few minutes on my digital recorder?
Always come.
It'll only take a second of your time. That's how I'm going to do it. I'm just going to have a nice – that's my goal for Christmas, using the Torches Amazon gimmick. I'm going to have my wife pick me up a new digital recorder so I can just do – not to the level of you guys on the MTR network, because I can't hang with that. I ain't got it like that yet. But I hopefully should be able to get some good commentary and some good hashtag content while I'm out there. But no, that's excellent. That's excellent. And before I put on, we have one more caller, Kylan. I'm going to go to a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we're going to finish strong with our final caller. We're going to finish strong with some emails, and we're going to hear from you guys here on the Deep Dive on Pro Wrestling Torch's PW Torch Livecast Saturday.
Hey, it's Jim Valley. If you cut promos in front of a mirror, if you made a belt out of cardboard, if your parents knew to leave you alone when wrestling was on TV, then this is the show for you. Wrestling Road Stories with Jim Valley. We'll talk about and to the stars that made your childhood great. From the WWWF to WWE, WCW, Crockett, Memphis, Florida, Mid-South, and Portland, we'll talk about the unbelievable stories of running the roads and keeping kayfabe, and who knows, some of the stories might even be true. Join me Wednesdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific in the United States, Wrestling Road Stories here on the Pro Wrestling Torch Livecast with me, Jim Valley.
All right, we're back to the Deep Dive with Rich Fan and D-Palm. I'm Rich Fan. He's D-Palm. And we're going to be handling our final call of the day. But before we get to that, we have some emails. Craig from Cincinnati, a fine gentleman, has his surviving top five and got a couple of repeats, but we have some new ones too. So I'm really looking forward to this. So the first one is Hulk Hogan versus The Undertaker. And his reason for this match is because one, he couldn't stand Hulk Hogan. Two, no one expected him to lose the title. It was in the Joe Louis Arena, home to his Detroit Red Wings. And four, it set up one of the most awesome things ever. Tuesday in Texas, which my God,
yes,
Tuesday in Texas was awesome. That was awesome. I got Craig, that is awesome. And so now we go to 92. This is his next match. Macho Man Randy Savage and Mr. Perfect versus Ric Flair and Razor Ramon. Fun note I'm going to throw this in was it was supposed to be Savage and Warrior, but Warrior is a sociopath, so he got fired again, and Mr. Perfect had to step in, breaking up his relationship with Flair and Ramon. And so Craig says, my favorite episode of programming history is the primetime wrestling, the Monday before this, where Perfect was being wooed by Savage to join his team, and I was essentially granted permission to root for Perfect, whom I'd always admired.
It's a great pick.
And we go to 94. I think you'll appreciate this one. Bret the Hitman Hart versus Bob Backlund in a submission match. Bret was my favorite wrestler the whole time he wrestled singles in WWF. To this day, Backlund's heel turn was the most insane turn of character in the history of wrestling. The Owens-Bret feud was one of the best feuds of the era, and Owens' manipulation was perfect. I gotta say, Owen crying to his mom and begging her to throw the towel, and Stu being Stu and almost tackling her to keep the towel is just like, and because they're both old, it's so delayed and so beautiful and so perfect. Do you remember that match? Did you see that match, Paul?
I've seen it. I didn't see it live. Like I said, WCW guy, but I have seen it since. I think it's one of those things that needs to be more plugged into the era when it happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the acting is not great, but Owen in tears, like, please, he's hurting my brother, please. And then Martha, God bless her, just, or Helen, I'm sorry, Martha's the same.
Yeah, Helen, yeah.
Helen just throws it, and Stu's like, why would you do pain is weakness leaving the body? Like, if Stu had his way,
Stu was a shoot.
Yeah, Stu, I mean, here's the thing. I was talking on Twitter a few days ago to a friend who complained, he was a guest here on the Deep Dive, Steve Williams. He said that he never got into the Bret Owen cage match. And he said, because for a blood feud, and some people joined in, for a blood feud, why are these guys chain wrestling? I was like, well, when you're Stu Hart's kids, nothing is more scarier to you than chain wrestling with a family member.
That's how angry they are. They're so angry they're going to chain wrestle.
Yeah. It's like, show some discipline. We're going to stretch you. because we're running out of time, so I'm going to speed it up a little bit. 2012, John Cena versus CM Punk versus Ryback, the debut of The Shield. I mean, you can't get much better than that.
There.
Yeah. And then his final one is the Team SmackDown from last year versus Team Raw match.
Did he break a rule because The Shield debuted in that last match?
Ooh, see, Craig, you had one job, Craig. Well,
but the thing is, they're not on the marquee. You're not coming to the show to see The Shield.
Weren't in the match. The Shield
qualification. So the question becomes, does that break a rule?
I think Craig might have found a loophole. That actually is a pretty good loophole. Because technically you could do the same thing with WrestleMania match, because Seth Rollins wasn't on the marquee. He cashed in the Money in the Bank during the match. Man, Craig, this is going to be the Kirkendall rule. You found a loophole, sir. If this was Predator, I'd want to shake your hand and then pause and flex. Oh, man. Son of a monk. Okay. Well done, Craig. Well done. We got one of my best friends in the world, Chris Maitland. He had a top five. We're going to breeze through real quick because he did email it, so I'm going to be professional enough to get it here on the air. We just talked about his number five, Randy Savage in Perfect versus Flair and Ramon. Mr. Perfect was a change after Ultimate Warrior left. Quite the improvement. This is a change-up. Undertaker versus Yokozuna from 94, the culmination of a year-long feud with a casket match. And then number three, and this is true, folks. If you ever ask Chris Maitland how much he doesn't like Shawn Michaels, this will be evidence of it. Shawn Michaels versus Psycho Sid, the first time I can openly recall rooting for the heel in a major title match, this is how much I didn't like Shawn Michaels. Yeah, it's deep. Number two, because, of course, great minds think alike, it's the grand finale, the only Survivor Series match to have an Ultimate Survivor match where the winners of each match faced off at the end. I mentioned it earlier. And his best match, his final match, was Bret Hart versus Diesel in 1995. Bret regains the title after losing it to Bob Backlund at Survivor Series 94 and had the first use of putting someone through the announce table. And then Chris, before he closed out, said honorable mention to all tag team Survivor Series matches from 87 and 88. They have too many people in it for a list like this, but they were a lot of fun. I know one he bristled at losing was the 20-man Survivor Series match where it was five teams on each side. And that was, my God, that was – it was a lot. It was a lot.
That sounds like a lot.
Yeah. And then so we did it. We went through the emails. We got one more caller. And it's Kylan, and I know Kylan's the man. So before, if you're all right, if you got another like 10 minutes.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to do one more break just because we're running into a little bit of overtime. When we come back from overtime, Kylan from New Jersey is going to lay us down with some knowledge and then wake us up with some truth here on the Deep Dive.
Hello, you people. I'm Pat McNeil. Every Sunday night, Greg Parks and I will bring you Wrestling Night in America here on PW Torch Livecast. We're on at 8 p.m. Eastern most weeks or immediately following the night's pay-per-view. We'll talk Raw, SmackDown, NXT, GFW, New Japan, Ring of Honor, WWN, and all the latest wrestling news with your phone calls. So don't miss it. Be there.
All right, we're back. We're in the final segment here of the Deep Dive with Rich, Fan, and Deepalm.
We're going to be joining. Tony Schiavone, we're going over time.
I know. I was almost going to do the panic-stricken Tony Schiavone. We're out of time. We'll see you next week. But I would be. This is a man who sent me texts and messages when he had family functions and other duties to handle because he couldn't make the last two shows. So we're going to close up strong with my man, Kylan. Kylan, as always, welcome back to the Deep Dive. What are you diving into with your top five?
Thank you very much, Rich. Glad you and Paul decided to go into overtime with me. I hope to live up to your statement that you said about me before the break. So with that being said, here we go with my top five list. I tried to pick things that were less obvious compared to everybody else, so here we go. In no particular order, I have the forgotten match between these two men, Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels at Survivor Series 1992.
Nice.
Love
Intercontinental
that
champion versus world champion, right?
Yep. Next. Survivor Series 1998. Mick Foley as his Mankind persona versus The Rock for the WWE Championship, which was vacant at this time.
Oh, that's another good one.
Another great pick. That's the end of that tournament.
You are correct, Paul. Last year, 2016, the surprise upset of the century, Bill Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar.
I can't argue with that because I just watched that Goldberg 24, and that really, yeah, that's a great pick.
To Survivor Series 2013, with the 2014, with the extremely surprised debut of Sting with Team Dolph Ziggler versus Team Authority.
That's another keeper.
I celebrate that one.
And for our final two matches, the Odd Couple six man tag team match of Jeff Hardy, Spike Dudley, and why am I blanking on the last person in this match against the team of Jamal, Rosie, and Rico with the surprise run-in of Bubba Ray Dudley was the last person in the match. with the surprise run-in of Devon, and for our final match, the main event of the first Survivor Series with Team Hogan versus Team Andre the Giant in 1987.
Wow, these are some really good ones. I mean, before we close up shop, I'm going to mention to Paul my only honorable mention, because you reminded me of it when you were talking about the last two. But yeah, those are really good, Kylan. What would you say is the match that you wanted to include, if you remembered off the top of your head, that you couldn't because of the rules?
I had two of these, believe it or not, but the one I really wished that I could have included was Team Rock versus Team Triple H in Rock's debut, which was actually this day in 1996, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
21 years ago today, that's right.
Man, time is going by.
Nah, we're just getting old, brother.
Yeah. Wow, well, these are great, Kylan. Did you have anything else? I don't want to run you off, but I also do want to be respectful of Palm's time before I close up shop.
I also would have had the Elimination Chamber match on this list, if I could have included that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, I love that match. When Shawn Michaels won, I was shocked. And the look on his face was, you know, you couldn't see someone that was more shocked than him, like, coming to and realizing, holy crap, I did that. And so that whole run of him as champion was just great.
Of course, I'm sure he had maybe a small hand in the finish, knowing what we know now. But at the time, as a 10-year-old kid, even I thought he couldn't believe that he won.
You see what Kylan just did there, Palm, was make us feel even older. That was like a nice little humble brag. It's like, you know, when I was 6 and I was watching WrestleMania 12, it was great. It's like, actually, I was 15. That was great.
Well, hold on. Don't us. And I'm an 85 baby. Don't age me up.
Oh, see. Oh, okay. So it's just me. It's just me in the water. It's all right. Strong men cry too. But yeah, that's awesome, Kyle. I mean, I appreciate it, and I appreciate the call. I apologize for cutting us short, but I do want to spend a few seconds before we close up shop here at this week's deep dive. One, thanking D-Palm for coming on, and two, giving you an opportunity again to remind folks about the MTR Network, the Unanimous Decision Pod, and I know you guys have a spectacular service there too that I am a member of, and kind of giving people the 411 on that.
100%. Thanks again for having me. A pleasure to be on. I love talking a little pro wrestling, especially talking about Survivor Series. Yep, I am an editor at the MTR Network. We have everything you need under the sun: politics, video games, comic books, TV reviews, movie reviews, and so much more, including our new sports show. It's not new anymore. I'm over a year now. I'm our sports show. Bump the new Unanimous Decision Podcast, hashtag UDPod, and on your social media. We're taking a little break. We'll be back this Sunday with our editor-in-chief, Chris, breaking down all the news of the week, including what's happening in Buffalo. That's hitting close to home for our friend Rich here. You can also make sure you subscribe everywhere you can subscribe to podcasts. You subscribe to the main feed that works, I guess, the NTR feed. But make sure you also subscribe specifically to the UD pod feed. I do these things called quick snaps. I'll be doing lots of little things throughout the season and after the football season that you may not get on the main feed because we have so much content. Even more content for you, $8 a month. Rich mentioned it, the premium service. You get over, I believe it's 8 additional podcasts a month. We're going to do a lot more than that because we've got people who just want to put out content and we want to show you it. You can listen to things like My Love Advice. We have a podcast called Hell No Cupid, and I went on there right before my mentioned nuptials and talked about kind of what I think are the interesting path to take me to the altar. But I've been told it's a good listen. The wife listened, and I'm still married, so it can't be that bad. But yeah, we've got tons of content, tons for you to check out, and we'd love to have you over at the Intern Network, specifically at the UD Pod.
Excellent, my man, and as always, a pleasure. I'll be looking forward to tapping you in the new year. I think this is always something people enjoy hearing. They enjoy hearing you, enjoy hearing about the UD Pod, and you know, I get nothing but positive feedback, so I wish you nothing but the best. Enjoy your Thanksgiving and enjoy this weekend's wrestling.
Well, same to you, brother.
All right. Now, you guys, it's been a pleasure. We're a week away from the turkey. Well, a couple of days away from the turkey. If you don't eat turkey or if you don't have family to celebrate with, I'm thankful for you. So I challenge you this week. Dive into something new. Give yourself a chance to explore a new opportunity. Give yourself a chance to impress you because life is short, guys, and this globe only spins around so long with us on it. So, for Deep Palm, this is Rich. Thank you for listening to the PW Torch Livecast, the deep dive for Saturday, November 18th, 2017. And next week, we'll see you.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject. And it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Killer Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the SE Editor format of the Weight Killer Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Past Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, The retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in-depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the livecast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.
Night.